Lekuta Sichas Chelik Yud Aleph, Parsha Tisa, Sicha Aleph. The Parsha Seinem Super, in our Parsha it's related, Shalachri Sha'omer Aaron Lebnei Yisrael, Pirku Nizme Azov V'Gaymer, after Aaron said to the Yidden, take off your golden jewelry and bring them to me, V'Aviyu Alai, V'Aviyu El Aaron, and they brought it to Aaron. Then it says, Vayikach miyodam, he took it from them, from their hands. Vayotzer oisoi bacheret. And these three words are, of course, going to be discussed now in Rashi, what the meaning of that is. But let's pick one explanation. He tied them up in a shawl, in a kerchief, in a shawl. Vayaseyu egel maseicha, and he made it into a calf of molten gold. So that's the pasuk by Upirush Rashi. So Rashi says Vayotzar Oisei Bacheret. He quotes the pasuk Vayotzar Oisei Bacheret. Yesh lo targa me b'shnei ponim. This can be translated in two ways. Ha'echad, one way is Vayotzar losin kshira, that the word Vayotzar means to tie, Bacheret, and the word Bacheret losin sudur means a kerchief. K'moi v'amitpoches v'acharitim, as found in the pasuk and the kerchiefs and the charitim, which means and the shawls. So we see a similar word in another pasuk. Vayitzer kikorim kesev b'shnei charitim, or another pasuk that says, and he tied two blocks of silver in two kerchiefs. That's another pasuk. Bahabez, the second translation of the word means Vayotzer Loshen Tzura. That Vayotzer is from the word he formed. Bacheret, and the word Bacheret is Kli Umnus Hatzerfim. This is a tool that is used by smiths, goldsmiths. Shecheretzim Bacheretim by Tzuras Bezab, that they engrave and they and so on and etch shapes into the gold. Eight sefer, like a stylus, hacheret oisis beluches, is that engraves letters into boards of pinkosim, and the kind of boards that they had in those days, covered with wax or whatever it was. Kamoi, as it says, v'kosov olav bacheret enish. The pasuk says, and eitzayv olav, write it upon him in the engraving of man. The zeo shatar tirgim unkulus vitzor yasya bezifa. That's why unkulus translates it as an vitzor yasay. He formed it bezifa with the word zifa. So Rashi says, what zifa loshen ziyufu? It is the word forging. Kli umnes. It is a tool, shecheretzim b'yizav, that you forge, that you engrave in gold, oisis ushkedim, letters and shapes. Shekedim b'laz, nail, which the French word is nail, u'mezayfim al yodei chesmes, and through that you engrave or forge seals, signatures, seals. Very long Rashi with a lot of detail. So we have to understand about this Rashi. Number one, halo yadua klal bepirush Rashi ala Torah k'duma kaba pamim. We know the rule that has been discussed a number of times in regards to Rashi. The chol makim shehu oimer beiz a yosef pirushim, that wherever he brings two or more explanations for the same beinyan echad, and one to the same words. Who mepnei shekol echad ma'pirushim yeshal of kushim masheina ba'sheini. It's because each one of them has a difficulty which the other one doesn't have, and one answers the other. Avu menidin bidan. But in our case, arei kol echad ma'pirushav muvan u'misyashiv l'chayda l'chol pratam. Each one of these explanations of what vayotzer oisei b'cherev is quite understood. So why does he have to bring a second explanation? They both seem to make good sense. Why does he bring two? Beis, Hakdomas Rashi lePirush of Elu. The introduction that Rashi gives to these two explanations, which he said, Yesh leTargamei b'shnei ponim, it can be translated in two ways. Otu minyana osu lashmina. Why does he have to tell us that there are two ways? If he goes ahead and tells us both explanations, we'll know that it's two. Gimel, Haloshem Kayetzabai, Ha Echad Asheni, who built a Ragel. The wording that he uses over here, the first one, or the one explanation, and then the second explanation, is a very unusual, uncommon expression for Rashi. Ki'im, k'mayshu kosev, tekev miyad, b'yashoymim, davarachar. Rather, what he usually writes is, as he writes in the next Rashi, and then the one after that, he says, v'yesh oimrim, where there are two explanations. He says the one explanation, and he says, and some say that it means this. In the third Rashi, he says, davaracher, another explanation. So those are the common wording that Rashi uses in order to bring a second pshat. And over here, he introduces it by saying the one and the second. Why does he use those wording? That wording. What's the reason that Rashi needs two proofs for his first commentary, in the first explanation, where he talks that he tied it into a kerchief? He brings two psukim. Why does he bring two psukim? Hamit Pachas v'acharitim is the first pasuk, and then the second one is Vayotzer kikorim b'kesev kesev b'shnei charitim. Another thing, he brings them in a reverse order as they appear in the Tanakh. First, he brings a pasuk from Yeshaya, and then after that, he brings a pasuk from Malachim, which comes before that. As we know, that the book of Malachim comes before the book of Yeshaya. Hey. This proof that he brings from the books of Nevi'im, Shacheret Loshen Sudar, that the word Cheret means a kerchief, Umizeh Shavayitzer Loshen Kshira, and because a Cheret means a kerchief, so then Bayitzer would be, in this context, he tied it into a kerchief. Hare Yochel Bameila Tzarech Hayelavim Apsukim Shabachumish. He could have brought proof that the word Vayitzer means to tide from Psukim in Chumash. It doesn't have to go all the way to Nevi'im. Or Befrat Shekvar Lomadnum, especially that these Psukim are Psukim which have already been learned by the time we get to the Parsha Kisisa. One was in Parsha Miketz, where it says Tzroir Kaspay, the bundle, the tied together, the bundle of money. Or Pirush Rashi Kesher Kaspay, as Rashi translates, the tied together bundle of the money. Parsha Boy, it says Tsrurois Bisim Loisam, that they are bundled in their garments. The dough was, when they were leaving Mitzrayim, the dough was tied into their garments. The Ein Rashi Mefaresh Klum, over there he doesn't say anything at all. Mekimish Kvar Pirshim Parsha Miketz, which was quite understood because he already said that Tzroir Kaspa, he already explained what Tzroir means, so you know already what Tzroiris means, so he doesn't have to explain it at this point. So therefore we already know from two places in the Pasuk that Tzroir Vayotzer means to tie. Rashi explained one of them, but he didn't find the need to explain the second one, obviously because we already know. So why over here suddenly does he have to explain what Vayotzer means? Vav lechayira kol ha-hemshach ke'et sefer at sefer shel dibur, the whole second part of the Rashi, where he goes into a lengthy explanation, that it is done with a stylus of a scribe, which engraves and so on, and that's why Unkelus said bezifa, which is ziuf, and in which you engrave letters and shapes, and he gives the French word, and through this you engrave signatures. Why does he have to say all that? Ma ene muvan v'dorush bir noisav. What is still left unsaid up until this point, before he begins with this whole explanation, that needs to be explained? But Pirush Hatevus v'yotzer eisav v'cheret, in explaining the word v'yotzer eisav v'cheret, which he is now explaining means he formed, in other words, shaped it with a stylus. Since he already said what it means, so why does he have to go into a lengthy explanation about how people engrave things and shapes and letters into tablets and so on? Why does he have to say all that? Darkish or Rashi lefarish rak pshuta shol mikra. Since Rashi only explains the simple meaning, become meirich lahabi dugma me'eit sefer acheret. And over here he goes into a, brings examples of a stylus of a of a scribe who engraves ulefarish targum unculus, and then he explains to us what the unculus is translating. She calls it lechayir in yanim stadim. All of these things seem to be secondary to what the meaning of this, or at least they're not essential to what the meaning of those words are. So abir b'cholze. So the explanation of all this. Hatam sherashi ena maybe raim epsukim chumashanal. The reason Rashi doesn't bring proof from these psukim, which already said what vayitzer tzruros means, who mipnei shehem nemer tevezu bebeiz reishin. Because in those words, in the Chumash, the word bundled, tied into, is with two reishes, tzroir kaspei and tzruros b'sim loisam. The eino yichach gemura, therefore, it's not conclusive that leparshasenu, to say that in our parsha, she'em ba'el reish echad, where it says the word vayitzer with only one reish, that it also means tied, because that might be a different sheirish, it might have a different meaning. Omnam gamma pasuk de malachim yevshu lahavi raya latevis vayitzer shuloshin kshira. True that also from the pasuk de malachim, the pasuk over there is vayotzer kikorim kesa b'shnei charitim. From that pasuk it also says vayotzer with one reish. So you can't really bring proof from that pasuk that it means tying, because it's the same problem and has only one reish. Ki hason gufa einay chacha yesem ahacha shecharitim heim sudarim. And over there also there's no, just like over here, we don't know what charitim is. So over there also we don't know what charitim is. It's the same words repeated. So what's more proof from there than from here? Dvarim shagbem kshira. We don't know that charitim are kerchiefs, which would clue us into what vayetzer means. If we knew that charitim over there means kerchiefs, then we would know that vayetzer means tied. But over there also we don't know what charitim is. So what's the more proof from there that vayetzer means to tie? L'landeinu al vayetzer shebirush ekshira. V'lachem muchach Rashi lo v'tchila ha-pasuk di Yeshaya. Therefore, Rashi first brings the pasuk from Yeshaya, which first establishes one point, which is v'amitpoches v'acharitim, where he compares the word mitpoches to charitim. The Ma'ida b'tachshitim, which is talking about, items of clothing, shemavur b'ki acharitim ein min doyma l'mitpoches, which the charitim must mean something similar to mitpoches. Mitpoches, we already know what it is. We know the word mitpoches from previous. And because the two are juxtaposed next to each other, charitim and mitpaches, they must mean similar things. Sudarim, which means kerchiefs of different types. So therefore, first he brings the proof that mitpaches sheds light on the word charitim. In other words, just as mitpaches is a kerchief, so therefore charitim is a kerchief. So now we've established that charitim is a kerchief. So now we know that in the pasuk in Malachim, shavi yitzer anemer gabi cheret, the pasuk didan hu loshin kshira. So therefore, no. First in our pasuk, before we get to Malachim, first we know that in our pasuk where cheret means a kerchief, which we know from mitpaches v'charitim. Now we have the question: what is vayitzer? It must mean tied it into the kerchief. But still, if so, the question would be, why does he need the raya from Malachim? Because still we might have a question, that this is not yet conclusive proof, because although it may be true from the pasuk charitim v'mitpaches that when you say charitim in the multiples, it means kerchiefs. Aval lechayra cheret shebepasuk didam. But in our pasuk where it says cheret, ein aloshin yochet shel charitim, maybe that is not the singular of the word charitim. Why? Because verabim de cheret hu charotim. Because what would be the multiple? What would be the loshin rabim of the word cheret? it would be charotim, not charitim. Reish kemutzo, with a comet's reish, charotim. Kemoi, for instance, in the example of chesed, which is similar to cheret, what is the multiple of that? Chasodim, not chasidim. And also cherev, the word cherev, which is similar to cheret, what is the multiple of that? Charovois, not charivois. So therefore, charitim doesn't necessarily follow that it is the Loshen Rabim of cheret. So therefore, the pasuk from hacharitim v'hamitpoches is not necessarily conclusively similar to here. V'oid, and another thing, ma'achas she'ena echocha she'cheret hu Loshen Sudor. So now, that we don't know for sure that cheret means sudar kerchief, so now we're left again with the question, what is Vayitzer? Because we don't know what Vacheret is. So therefore, since it's not conclusive yet, therefore Rashi brings an additional raya from the Pasuk in Malachim, which is Vayitzer Kikorim Kesa B'Shnei Charitim. Shaboy Nemar Vayitzer B'Yachas L'Charitim. Now we find that the word Vayitzer is in connection to Charitim, which is similar to the Charitim Umitpaches. So now, Sheim Sudorim, so now we know that Charitim also means kerchiefs, and that's why the word Vayitzer is used in conjunction with Charitim. We know that it is kerchiefs because Charitim was next to Mitpaches in Yeshaya, so now we have Charitim in Melochim, which is next to Vayitzer. So now we know that Vayitzer in this context means to tie. So therefore in our pasuk where it also says Vayitzer, we have already, Vayitzer can mean tying, because cheret, charitim already means kerchiefs. So therefore cheret over here can also mean kerchiefs. Kimai benayu. So since cheret in our pasuk can be is in the context of tying, therefore cheret also means a kerchief, just like charitim in the other pasuk, which is next to vayitzer, is a kerchief. And it's taka true that charitim is an unusual Loshen Rabim of the word cheret, because normally you would have thought that it was charotim, but so it's an unusual way to express the Loshen Rabim. And the commission of Sinur Rabim al Darazeb Biksubim Shalafneza, and we find many cases where the Loshen Rabim of something is different than you would think. For instance, in the case of Isha, the Loshen Rabim is Noshim, very, very different. Also Bas, the Loshen Rabim is Bonois. So Ba'oid and other such examples, so therefore Charitim is just an unusual extension of the word Cheret, not what you would have expected, but it still means that, as we can see from the way he explained the two Rayas from the Pesukim. Avalafize Kosha, but according to this we still have a question. Behem Shechadibur Bekosov, as it continues the Pasuk, Mekibin Shavei Yitzereitze Becheret. Since what does it mean that Aaron took the gold and he tied it into a kerchief, so it comes out the pasuk doesn't say that he made the egel, he put it away into a kerchief. If so, the continuation there which says vayaseu egel masecha, and he made it into a molten calf. Loikoi al Aaron. Therefore, it's not necessarily saying that it was Aaron that did it. Aaron put it away. That was it. Ki imo machashvei erev rav shalim moy mitzrayim. Who is this vayaseyu egel masecha? Who did that? So either the magicians from the erev rav that came along with them in Mitzrayim, or al micha, or it refers to micha. Kidabirush Rashi lahalom lutz. Rashi says in the next Rashi, he gives two versions of who made. Who was responsible for the egel? Nimtza shereisha dekra. So then it comes out that the first part of the pasuk v'yich miyodem v'yitzaras b'cheret, that he took it from them and he tied it into a kerchief. Ma'ir ba'aron. That's referring to Aaron. Va'seifa, and then the continuation of the pasuk v'yaseyu. And he made it. And it doesn't say who. It just said, just like the first time, it doesn't say who tied it into. But over there in the first one, since it's talking about Aaron, so we assumed it's Aaron. Over here, it's a new person already. Egel Masecha, he made it into an Egel Masecha. Ma'ir ben Mishu Acher is now talking, it's switching. There's a new character, there's a new person that's involved. Ba'av Shahar ben Mikra'is Kitzri Loshen. And this is slightly difficult, that it suddenly changes track about who is the one that made it, but it's obvious that it's someone else because Aaron's merely put it into a kerchief. And although it's true that there are many psukim which speak in short, she'ena mefarish miwa oise, that it doesn't spell out who is the one about it's who it's talking about, but over here it's a little different, because doichek lefarish behemshach kasav echad, it's difficult to say. If it didn't say anything about anybody, then you would say it doesn't, it leaves unsaid who it was. But over here it did say that it was Aaron. And now it's changing track. That the same pasuk is talking about two different people. That's a little more difficult. So then, because we have this difficulty of the continuity of the psukim, now if we were to interpret that Aaron merely tied it into a kerchief, therefore Rashi explains that there is another explanation to the word vayitzer, that it means loshen tzura, that he engraved, he made an engraving. Becheret kli umnes atzerfim, and the cheret means the tool that the engravers use. Shecheretz and becheretim betzuras bezav, that they use it to engrave shapes into gold. Lefizeh gam bayaseh egel masecha hakavana le'aron, and according to this explanation, so then Aaron didn't put it away. He engraved shapes onto the gold, and then he made it into a molten calf. That continues with Aaron, and that makes more sense in the continuity of the psukim. Aval gam lepiruzeh yesh lahakshus, but this explanation also has difficulties, because arei lekamen kosev ashlicheu ba'eish. Further on in the psukim, it says that Aaron was telling Moshe, I threw it into the fire, vayetzia egel azeh, and this calf came out. Upirush Rashi, and Rashi says over there, v'liyadaiti sheyetzia egel azeh v'yotza, I didn't know that this would result in a calf coming out of the fire. It just arrived, it appeared. Harei mashma she'aron li'osa azeh egel, so from this it seems that Aaron did not make the egel. He threw it into the fire, and it just came out on its own. V'av she'yishleim she'kos avzeh v'av she'lcheu vayetzia kitzeh b'lushayne v'lechosh, and even though you could say that the pasuk is merely speaking again short, in short terms, in other words, it doesn't spell out, I threw it into the fire and I shaped it into a calf, and but maybe that is what happened, even though the pasuk doesn't spell out all those details. But it's difficult to say that, because be'emes nasa egel al yedei Aaron, and in fact the egel was made through Aaron, even from that pasuk. Shehu tzar tzarasa, because he is the one that engraved the shape of the egel onto the gold. Rashi mefarish rak lefi pirush echad kan, and this Rashi, which Rashi is saying, I didn't know that it would come out. That's because Rashi is going according to the first pshat, that all Aaron did was tie it into a kerchief. But if we were to go with the second pshat, that Aaron also engraved the eagle onto the gold, then he did in fact do it. So that's difficult. Why? Because kipashtas hamshel because as the psukim on the surface, on the simple meaning of the psukim, seem to be saying, I threw it into the fire and the calf came out. It seems that Aaron was amazed that it resulted in an eagle. And therefore, because of this difficulty in the continuity of the psukim, if Aaron made it, so why is he expressing amazement? If he engraved the shape of an eagle onto the gold, why is he expressing amazement that an eagle came out? So that leaves a difficulty. So therefore, Rashi also needs the first pshat, that Aaron only tied it into a kerchief. Because in that pshat, in the first pshat, there is no, that question doesn't appear. So in other words, each pshat has its difficulty and its and the answer to the other difficulty. Gimel, al pianal, based on this, yesh levara tamla makosav rashi ka k'doma lepirushov, yesh letargame b'shnei ponim. This can explain why Rashi introduces the two pshatim by saying that you can be, it can be explained in two ways. And then he says the one and the second one. Generally, when Rashi writes, gives two pirushim, and the reason he gives two is because each one has a difficulty in misyashavah pi pirush hasheni, which is answered by the second one. Kanal, as we mentioned before, hare muvan. So it's understood kimeduba kamapam, as is already explained previously in other sichas. Shapirush habolar hasheinahu ikri. That generally, when Rashi gives the first pshat, it is the one that he considers to be the most important pshat, the kar of yoser lapshat, and that it is closer to the simple meaning of the psukim. Zaysim meres, in other words, shakusha shebepirush harishin kala mizu shebepirush hasheni. In other words, that the question that is left by the first pshat is not as difficult as the one that is left by the second pshat, and therefore he chooses the first one to be the most important, and that's why he brings it first. Amnam, however, harei yitochen lefa'amim sheshkulesein. It is possible that that sometimes there could be two pshatim which are equal in importance, and ve'ein pirush echad machriyas hasheni, that one is not more important than the second. In other words, that the questions of the one are just as difficult as the questions of the other, and therefore there's no reason to choose one over the other as being more important. But how is Rashi going to indicate that they're both equal in their importance, since he can only write one after the other? He can't write them both at the same time. So and because he wrote one first, you might make the mistake of thinking that since it's written first, it's the more important. But he doesn't want that, because it's not more important than the other one. So therefore, in order to point out that they're both equal, Maktim Rashi b'tchilas dvarav loshna klal hakoylo l'mashva beza pirushim. Rashi, when he tells you that there's going to be two pshatim, he makes it clear that there are two pshatim which are equal. The commandment didn't be done like an arkesha kosov, that he kosov yesh l'targame b'shnei ponim, that he tells you right at the start, these words can be translated in two ways. In other words, that he's telling you they're two equal ways. Shavim u'shkulim, they're both equal in their importance. Of v'meilam u'mashen aseder derishim v'sheni elam ebnei sheyefshu l'avim v'asachas. And therefore, the reason that he brings one before the other is only because you can't write them both at the same time, but they're both equal. So why is that here? Why is that so here, that they're both equal? The difficulty with the first pshat was that the continuation of the pasuk, it seems that Aaron made the eagle. But of course, this can be sort of explained that even though it seems from the pasuk, from the wording of the pasuk, that it wasn't Aram, but it's only because he didn't spell it out. So it's only because he used short phrasing, and that's why it seems that it wasn't Aram. A similar question is difficult with the second pshat. Because from the third pasuk, it seems that it was not Aram that made the ego, from the wording there. The Gamzu Yeshliyasha Badecha Bikitzalosh Nakosa, which also we could answer at least with the difficulty that maybe it's only because the Pasuk is using short phrasing and therefore it seems that he didn't make it, but in fact he did make it. So in other words, Haresha Bebeza Birushim Shkulim Hem Bepshudushal Mikra, both Pshatim have the exact same difficulty, which can be with difficulty answered. So they're both equal. And this is the reason that Rashi says that it can be translated in two different ways, which are both equal. Which also explains why he uses the wording the one and the second. ubahaktim, and to explain this, well, first we have to explain shalochayra lama kaisav Rashi echad asheni. Why does he write the one and the second one? The leibeloshen harishin vasheni. Why not the first and the second? Shemasim yaisa, which is generally the usage of number one and number two, or the first and the second. B'mispar siduri, when you count in order, so you say first, second, you don't say one and two. The one and the... Kigam bazeh kavanasir lahadgish, because over here also he's trying to emphasize the same point. She'en kam pirush rishon, that there is no first pshat. First pshat, v'hayna b'mayla, would mean the first means the most important. So he's saying, no, it's not the first most important. Ela echad, it's one pshat. V'yesh hasheni adayim alein, there is a second pshat. It shouldn't be second, it's pshat number two, which is equal to pshat number one, because they're both equal, mishnei pirushim shavim. So he said, meresh shahab hefresh b'neim hu shehem shnei pirushim shainim. In other words, that the difference in which one is first and which one is second is not important. It's just that they're two separate pshatim, two different pshatim. Avalei hefresh b'maylosim, but he's not naming one as the first and the other one as the second. Rather, one and two. L'fi pshuta shel mikra, because according to the simple meaning, they both have the same difficulty, they both have the same answer, and therefore there's no reason to choose one over the other. Dalet. Ulam yesh lahakshay salpirish hasheni. But in the second shot, there could be a different question. Tevas bacheret, the word bacheret, which is now being being interpreted as a engraving tool. Nimtzas oid pam b'tanach. We find it again in the Tanakh. It says v'kosav olu b'cheret enosh, and he writes upon it with the cheret of man. U'machshem mefurish v'kosav olu b'cheret, and since over there it says he writes on it b'cheret, harei mashma she'ein zeh kli umnas shecheretzim. So therefore, it doesn't seem to indicate that it was something to engrave with. The chertim by tzuras bezav, with which you engrave shapes into gold. Ela al eicha kaisvim by oisis. It seems that it's something that you write with rather than engrave with, and that you write letters. The ha teinach lepirusha aleph. So in other words, there's two distinctions. One is whether it's written or engraved. The other one is whether it's engraving shapes or letters. The table of Pirusha Aleph Cheret Loshen Sudar, the Hotenach Lefirusha Aleph. We can understand it according to the first pshat, which means that Cheret is a kerchief. Matzina Loi Raya Mikroish Ebi Rashi. We found Rayas from Psukim that Rashi brought. Valkein Tzkorchach Tzvev Loimar Becheret Enosh Hu Mishayrish Achar. Therefore, in this case, the pasuk Becheret Enosh, of course, has nothing to do with Becheret, meaning a kerchief. Over here it has a completely different meaning in the word becheret enosh. So therefore there is no contradiction of what becheret means here and what becheret means there. They're two different, totally different words. Aval apirush habeis, but according to the second translation, hadeidoychet lefarish becheret shulafanein u'shoyru shlishi. It's difficult to say that the cheret in this pasuk, our pasuk, and the cheret and the pasuk of v'kosav olav becheret enosh, is another two meanings, two separate, totally separate words. Ve'enem loshen charotim shebeksuvim anal, and doesn't have anything to do with the word charitim in those psukim. Ve'enem loshen cheret adoyim aloy, and it all charitim over there means kerchiefs, and over here cheret, which is more similar. The kosav olav cheret enosh, which is similar to cheret, and it's similar in the context of what it is, writing and so on. To say that that is a third meaning is difficult. V'chdei liyashiv kushazu. So in order to answer this question, mamshech Rashi levayr, he continues to explain shecheret ein hashem shel kli mesuyam, that the word cheret doesn't mean a specific type of implement, tool, the one that writes, like a stylus, which is meant specifically for writing. Ela shenikra kein al shem pu'ulas hacharita. What it means is, it's an engraving implement. Now, there are different types of engraving implements. Some of them are used for writing letters. Some of them are used for drawing shapes. Varashim alei zedaber, and by engraving into something. L'chein k'shem shemasim Hashem cheret al kli umnois v'cheretem beitzuru v'zav. So just like the word cheret can apply to a craftsman's tool, which is made for engraving shapes into gold. K'may kin yitachen leim eloshem cheret be'eit sefer acheret oisius. You can also use that same word, that an engraving tool, which in this case is a stylus on which you write on tablets and so on. You write words on tablets. Because the word cheret means an engraving tool, and there could be different types of engraving tools. Maybe Rashi, there, and therefore that explains, of course, the discrepancy between the two psukim. Or at least the between the pasuk, the kos of el, all of... that over there it's talking about letters. Over here it's talking about engraving shapes in gold. And therefore Rashi also writes in the continuation of the pasuk, he brings the word enosh. Why? Because the word over here, enosh, enosh means a person without any special qualities. B'loshan Rashi, shem enosh kli called Shuhu Afil Eina Chacham. That Enish means someone that is not especially talented, just an ordinary person, but not the craftsman that uses it to engrave on gold, to engrave shapes on gold. So in other words, that it can be either a simple implement which simply writes letters, as in this pasuk, the pasuk of because of all the Becheret Enish, or it could mean engraving shapes into gold like it is in our pasuk. Because the word cheret is not found in the Torah, and therefore we're unsure about exactly what it means, that there is even the possibility to have three interpretations for it, whether it's a craftsman's tool or an implement for writing ordinary letters or even a kerchief. The oich shem echad ulakli letzir egel ulakligas sivus oisius, and also that it could have the same meaning of engraving shapes or engraving letters, writing letters. So therefore, in other words, we're not sure exactly what cheret is. There are so many possibilities. Therefore, Rashi brings a raya also from the Targum. And he explains Loshon Ziyuf, which means to engrave, to forge. And he says it's an implement with which you can engrave into gold either letters or shkedim, which shkedim in this case, as I'll explain, means shapes. Shekodim Balaz Nile, and he gives you the French word, Hainu. Shukli Hamishamish Hain Laksiva Shal Oisitz. In other words, that it is a tool which can be used either for writing letters, or Vahain Lacharitzas Tuyurim, or for making pictures. Shezeo Pirusha Shal Shkedim Khan, which is the meaning of the word Shkedim in this context. Okay, Pirush Rashi Al Apostle Shloisha Gvim Shukodim. As Rashi already explained in regards to the words three cups that were engraved, that were formed, shaped out of the menorah. So the word mishukodim means shaped, you know, drawn or engraved and so on. And not, you shouldn't make the mistake of thinking that the word mishukodim over here is from the word shkedim, which means almonds. In other words, that they made shapes of almonds around the cup. No, it means engraving, that's all it means. So that Rashi explained already. So in other words, that the word shkedim means engravings, shapes, engraved shapes. As Rashi says, what's the connection? Or as the Rebbe explains, what's the connection between almonds and with the menorah? Ubechdeish loylitas b'kavanas targum unkulus shetirgum ebecheret b'zifa. In order that we shouldn't make the mistake that what is as the what the unculus means b'cheret, but it means b'zifik zo ikir kavanas Rashi b'aviyas ha'targum u'mefarshim oimer mezayfim al yodei chaismes. So he wants to explain further what is it, why does he bring the Targum Unculus, that he continues further, and they engrave through that Chaismais. Shalachei Nikra Bezifa, that's why it's called Zifa. Hakli Nikra Al Shema Pa'ula Hanasis Al Yada HaZiyuf. That's why the tool is called Zifa, because it does the work of Ziyuf, of engraving. Okanal Bacheret Al Shem HaRashima, so that's why Bacheret is also a tool which makes Charotim, which makes engravings. So he wants to explain thoroughly that the word Charit Cheret, which is such an unusual word, it's named that way because it makes shapes, whatever shapes it makes. And in this case, it made pictures, it made drawings. Valpiza Yuva Masharashi Bisume Mahapecha Seide de Adata, which explains why Rashi reverses the order that he had used till now, and he says, Oisiz V'achkach Shkedin. First he begins with letters, and then he goes to shapes. Ki Ziyuf Shayach Be'ikr Be'oisiv, because the word Ziyuf is primarily used for letters. That's why he starts with letters, and also can be used for shapes. But still, the second pshat still has many difficulties. Because everybody knows from the psukim how holy and great Aaron was. That doesn't need to be explained. It's difficult to say that Aaron actually went and formed, engraved the eagle onto the gold. That he was the one that made a molten calf. Avodah Zarah, he actually formed an Avodah Zarah. How could you say that about Aaron? That's a great difficulty that we have with the second shot. V'yivur zebehektim. So this will be explained by first explaining Shesh Lahakshus Kushik Zu Gamenege Lachobene Yisrael. The truth is that this question can be asked about the Yidden in general. Zman Kotzer Lefneze, only a short time before this, Omdu Likras Elokim, the Yidden stood before God, the Har Sinai, Bashamu Aseres Adibis, and they heard the Aseres Adibis, Kodel Atziva Di Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, and Leisasel Chafesel, including the first two, which were said by Hashem Himself, Vagamro Esakaylus, and those two prohibit, of course, making an Avodah Zarah. Vagamro Esakaylus, and they saw the sounds. So, in other words, that makes an even greater impression. They saw the words coming forth. Midalad Ruchos Min Hashemayim and Aretz. It came from every direction, and from the heaven and from the earth. So how is it possible that after all these revelations of God, Yala al Daitam Lasis Avodah Zarah would occur to them to make an Avodah Zarah? V'av sheba satan be'ivri v'sa'olam v'hered mus chesher v'afelu v'arvuvya. And although it's true that the satan came and he made great confusion in the world, and things became dark and doubly dark, and lots of confusion and so on, as the Medrash says, v'adayin kashem ma'oid. Love, and it's still very difficult to understand. And Rashi says that Medrash, but still difficult to understand. Shaydeza tabi yirida atzuma kazu. How could that bring? How could the confusion, although it was confusion, but how does it bring to such a descent that they should sink to such a low? Min akotza elyon ad akotza atachna, from the highest revelation at Har Sinai to the sink so low to make an Avodah Zarah so shortly after, which is a well-known question. Valkein Sarach Loimer, and therefore we have to say Shagam Lefi Pshuta Shal Mikra Shazel Derech Pirush Rashi, that even on the simple level, Pshuta Shal Mikra, which is of course the way Rashi explains everything, Ha'inyan Muvan, this is something that can be understood. Va'at Kedei Kach Shirashi Ein Sarach Lefashi. And it's so well understood that Rashi doesn't explain it anywhere. You would think that something like this Rashi would explain, but he doesn't. And the explanation is as follows. Mefurish Bekosav, it says in the Pasuk, Vayar Ha'om, Ki Boishish Moshe L'Redes. the people saw that Moshe was delaying in coming. Moshe was delaying to come down from the Har Sinai. So they said, "Asei lanu elokim, let's make ourselves elokim." Because this Moshe that brought us from Mitzrayim, we don't know what happened to him. Hainu, in other words, from this pasuk it seems shaloi bikshu avodah zarah. They weren't looking for a replacement for Hashem. And avodah zarah, davar sheyeh b'mekom shekadosh baruch hu chas v'shalom. They weren't looking to replace Hashem. Ela mashu b'makom Moshe. They were looking for something to replace Moshe. V'lachein itimu zeh. And therefore, in explaining why they want to create something, they said, because Moshe is delaying. So what then does it mean, let's make ourselves Elokim, which seems to me to be a god? They immediately explained in the pasuk that they don't mean to make themselves a god. They're looking for something to replace Moshe that will lead them as Moshe did. Because Moshe, we don't know what happened to him, so we need somebody to replace Moshe to lead us. And Rashi explains that in explanation of the words that he brought us out from Mitzrayim, and he told us, he showed us, he guided us in the way that we need to go. Now we need an elikus that should lead us. So therefore the word elikim over here, niskabnu al derech mashukosav, over here the interpretation of that word is meant similar to what it says in the pasuk of Atati Eloi Lekim, that when Hashem said to Moshe that you will be the guide, Elokim, the guide for Aaron, he said Aaron will be the spokesman. You will be the Elokim. What did he mean by that? Hashem didn't mean that you're going to be Aaron's God. He meant that you will be his master. You will be the guide, the teacher. Or as Hashem said to Moshe, I have made you into an elikim to Pare. He didn't mean a god, he meant a master over Pare. Pirush Rashi, Shoifet V'Roide. So therefore, we will make for ourselves a god, elikim. Asei lanu elikim doesn't mean a god, it means a new guide, a new leader. But what happened was, eventually some of them got caught up in this whole eagle thing, until they actually attributed godly elements to it. And those people were punished by death. But not everybody was interested in making a god. Their initial idea was to make a new guide. Although, of course, the same question could be asked about this approach. How does it come to anybody's idea that a golden statue is going to be a guide for them, the tsar or a master to them, Moshe? Moshe was the man of Hashem, a prophet, and so on. How is a golden calf going to be that? About Moshe, it says, I stand between you and between Hashem. So he says, Eine daime klal lahanal. This mistake cannot be compared to making a mistake that the golden calf should be in to replace Hashem. Because it's not the same. Because to make a golden calf as the communicator between Hashem and the Yidden, that could be understood. Because when Hashem told the Yidden to make the Mishkan, the purpose of the Mishkan was, of course, that Hashem should dwell amongst the Yidden. As the pasuk says, that make for me a mikdash so that I will dwell amongst you. And we see that what was the central point of the Mishkan was the Aron and the Kruvim on top of the Aron. Kmoshkozovin, as it says, Vidibartim itchome al kapayis ben shnei krubim asher al reina edus. And Hashem says, I will speak to you from the on top of the kapayis, the cover of the aron, from between the two kruvim that are on top of the aron. Ubameila. So therefore, sheyesh lidmais da kruvim em keim mutsa ben yisrael kadosh baruch hu. So therefore, it seems that the kruvim acted as the conduit through which Hashem spoke to the Yidden. Especially in light of what it says in the pasuk, how we understand the words in the pasuk leisasan iti elakei kesef elakei zav, that it says, "Do not make with me," meaning in the presence of Hashem, gods of silver, gods of gold. Leisasu lechem, you shall not make them for yourselves. What does it say about that pasuk? Upirush Rashi shekoyla kruvim. Rashi says that what this means is, do not make kruvim other than in the Beis Hamikdash, in the Mishkan. V'oid pirush Rashi, and Rashi says also, le'taymer adeni oise kruvim b'bat ha'knisiyus v'bat ha'medrashes, do not think, I will make kruvim in every shul and in every Beis Medrash, k'dero shani oise b'beis elomim, as I make in the Beis Hamikdash. L'kach ne'mar, therefore the pasuk says, lo yisasu lechem, you shall not make for yourself golden images in your shuls or anywhere else other than in the Beis Hamikdash itself. So the question could be asked, why would it occur to anybody to make a kruvim in a shul, in a Beis Medrash, as it wasn't Beis Hamikdash? That the pasuk has to be warn us, do not make gods, in other words, that we would see it as gods of some sort. Why would anybody want to do that? But the answer is based on what we said before, we can understand. Since the kruvim could be seen as the conduit between the Eibishter and the Yidden, it's quite logical to say, let's have one of those in every shul. Therefore the pasuk has to say no. This is only something that is in the Beis Hamikdash. You don't need one of those in every shul. So therefore in the case of the egel, which came before this prohibition that you're not allowed to make kruvim in every shul, even though it's true that this was said to Moshe Rabbeinu immediately after Matan Torah, but at that point Moshe had not come down from Har Sinai, he hadn't told the Yidden yet about this. So they didn't know yet that it was prohibited to make a golden conduit between the Eibishter and the Yidden, and the Kadashim. And the fact that this was going to be the reality in the Kodesh Kodashim, the Holy of Holies, there was going to be these golden kruvim, which are a conduit, shows about how great and important they are. So therefore, the Yidden said, let's make one now. Moshe Rabbeinu is not here. We need a mamutza. Let's make an eagle. Let's make a golden image that will be like the kruvim in the Kodesh Kodashim. Which also answers why Aaron made it. He could have also understood it in that way, not as a god, but as a conduit, as sort of a kruvim. Let's make one now. And as a remez, actually, the question of how did they know this? The Yidden already knew that there was going to be a Mishkan, and they knew details about it. They knew that they had to bring wood. They knew that they had to bring oil, as we see from other places. So they were aware of how things would happen in the Mishkan, at least to some degree. So it's possible that they knew this detail about the Kruvim as well. And as a remez, you can also add, Shazoa machuvim var nirmaz betevis enosh. That's why Rashi adds the word enosh. He doesn't add it, but he also concludes the pasuk with the word enosh. that he brings in the Rashi, the Hine Mevur Beramban, because it's explained in the Rambam that Bimei Enosh To Bnei Adam Toz Godel, in the times of Enosh, the person named Enosh, the people made a great mistake. The Enosh Atzmei Minatoyim Hoya, and Enosh himself also made the same mistake. And this is the mistake that they made. Amru, they said, since Hashem created the stars, these stars, the Golgalim and the orbits, Lahanigas Olam, to run the world. So therefore, they made the mistake of saying that they are deserving of honor and praises, and to give them respect. In other words, what was the mistake of the people of in the time of Enosh and Enosh himself? They thought that these tools which Hashem was using to run the world, the orbits and the sun and the moon and so on, they have their own choice, they have their own will, they can do whatever they want. Even though in truth they are merely like a tool in the hand of the master. So also in our case, that's how the Rambam explains the mistake, how Avodah Zarah came about, that it happened in the time of Enosh. Very important distinction, that Hashem doesn't in fact use tools in order to run the world, but those tools are merely like a hammer in the hand of a craftsman, and nobody would ever say thank you to the hammer. You say thank you to the one that wields the hammer. So also in our case, Shirotzu Lasis is the Egel of Mamutza. They envision the Egel as a Mamutza, as an intermediary. Ochem bevade yodu b'nei Yisroel v'arish ein l'mamutza kazeh shum b'chidu b'dugma l'akruvim. And although it's true that they knew, Aaron and the Yidden, they knew that the Kruvim have no will of their own, they have no power of their own. But what happened eventually was and this led to, by certain people like the Eidarav and so on, that they took it a step further, or many steps further, and they made it into an Avodah Zarah Mamish. In other words, to take the golden calf as not merely a tool through which Hashem communicates, but as something that has its own choice or its own will. And this is why Rashi also brings in that last word from the pasuk, the word enosh, to allude to the fact that this is a similar problem to what happened in the time of Enosh. This question of how Adam made the mistake, did that, how the Yidden did it, can also be explained according to Halacha. How is it possible that Aaron would have engraved, made a, you know, been complicit in the Cheta Ego? Will be a inyan. So to explain it, kimatzina mefurish bekra, we find in the pasuk clearly stated she'aron omalehem, that Aaron, what did he say to them? Pirku nizmei azov, take off your golden jewelry. They viu elai and bring it to me. To dayik loyim erakshi aviu elav as azov. He just said, bring me the gold. Avaloi sheyitnu elai. He didn't say and give them to me. Hainu, why this distinction? Bring them to me rather than give them to me. He was trying to say, don't bring it to me. I don't want your gold. I don't want to take possession of your gold. In other words, he didn't take possession of it. It didn't become his. Because it's not possible that a person should acquire something against his will. And if he clearly stated that he has no intention of it becoming his, of his, him taking possession of it, so then he won't take possession of it. It never became his. Befrat shegam heim omru lemitchila asei lanu elikim, and especially that they said to them, make for us elikim. In other words, not that it should be his, it should be theirs. V'nimtza shazov nishu b'ba'alusim shel b'nei Yisrael gam be'esha asar nesegel. So it comes out that who actually owned the gold, even as Aaron was making the egel, them and not him. since it's a rule in halacha, that a person cannot cause something that is not his to become prohibited for use. Avodah Zarah can become, it becomes asur if someone makes it into an Avodah Zarah, but if you're using somebody else's materials, somebody else's possessions, and you do something to it, it's not yours to make it asur. You don't have the right, you don't have the ability to make it asur. Say, Ein Adam Oisa Dovah She'ena Shaleh. There are conditions to this as well, which we're not going to get into. According to this, since the gold never became Aaron's, it still remained the possession of the people that gave it to him. So even when he made it into the calf, it didn't become an Avodah Zarah. It didn't become Asur, because he can't, he doesn't have the power to make it Asur. And therefore, by extension, it means he did not violate the Isra of Avodah Zarah, because it never became his, and therefore he's not able to confer on it the status of Avodah Zarah. It's not his to do that to the gold. But you can ask the question, because the Gemara does explain, Omar Achmana, the Torah says, Ashreim Tisrufum Ba'esh. It says, the Hashem said to the Yidden, when you come into Eretz Yisrael, you shall burn all their trees that they made into Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara asks them, Michti, but let's see, Yerushahima Avaisam, this is an inheritance the Yidden owned Eretz Yisrael from Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And since the Goyim are not able to, it didn't belong to them, how were they able to make these Asheras, these trees, into a Dover Asur? Upirish Rashi, as Rashi explains, the land of Israel and everything that comes with it, like the trees, are the possession, the Yerusha of the Yidden, from their forefathers. The Goyim Shabo Achre came, and therefore the Goyim that came there after Avram Avinu, they cannot prohibit, make these trees into Avodah Zarah by bowing down to them, since it doesn't belong to them. And the rule is, Ein Adam Oisa Dovah She'ena Shaloi. Elos, and the Gemara answers, Midepolchu Yisroel Le'egel. The answer to this question is, since the Yidden bowed down to the, they worshipped the Egel, Golu Adaitayu, the Nichaluhu B'Avodah Zarah. Through this, they reveal their own intentions, that they do like Avodah Zarah. They're okay with Avodah Zarah. So therefore, v'chiyosu akam shlichusayu the du avdi. And therefore, when the goyim came and they bowed down to the trees, they were doing it as agents, so to speak, of the Yidden. The Yidden are okay with Avodah Zarah, as they themselves made an egel. Therefore, when the Goyim did it, they did it on behalf, that's considered as if they did it on behalf of the Yidden, and therefore the Asheras, the trees that they bow down to, are indeed considered Avodah Zarah. Umakshe b'Gemara, so the Gemara continues and asks the question, v'dilma b'egel hu d'nichaluhu b'midi achrin eloi nichalu. Maybe it was only the egel that they were okay with, but they didn't want a tree to become an Avodah Zarah. They're okay with this. They're not okay with that. Umetarot, and he answers, Amakra, the Pasuk says, Eile lekecha Yisroel, because they said, these are your gods, O Israel. Malamet she'ivul elukus harbe. They used elekecha in a Lashon Rabin. Multiple gods. In other words, not only the egel. There were other versions of it they were okay with as well, including, why not, also the trees of Eretz Yisroel. So that's what the Gemara says. Harei chazina, so we see, the mikivin shagolu adatayu, the nichaluhu b'avodah zarah al-yedei ha'egel, that since the Yidden revealed their opinion of this, that they're okay with avodah zarah through the egel, shapi yochel gam mish einish oloi lesser, then it's possible that even somebody who doesn't belong to him, in this case Aaron, even though it didn't belong to him, but since they're okay with Avodah Zarah and he made the egel, so then it would be possible for him to cause it to become Asur and therefore to become Avodah Zarah. Therefore, even Aaron was able to bring an Isur to the egel, even though it's not his. And although it's true that this, that his making the egel was before they actually said, these are your gods, Hamira ina ele megala datayu shehoyelufneze. By them saying it, they were merely expressing what their true desire was. Now that they said it, we know what they wanted, but they actually wanted it before also, when they gave it to Aaron. So therefore, since the Gemara says that by the Yidden expressing their desire that there should be an Egel, somebody else can also aser what belongs to them, as in the case of the Goyim and Eretz Yisrael in regards to the trees. So the same could be said about Aaron. So then Aaron did make an Avodah Zarah. We're back to that question. So this will be understood by first explaining what the Rambam says. Yisrael shezokav levena l'shtachvas lo. The Rambam says that if a Yid erected, in other words, turned a brick and made it stand up, l'shtachvas lo, so he took a brick that was lying down and he stood it up in order to bow down to it as an avodah zarah. But in the end, he didn't bow down to it. All he did was put it up as it's going to be an avodah zarah. Bo akum. Then along came a goy, and he did bow down to it. Osra bahanoa. So by the goy bowing down to it, he makes that brick osra bahanoa sheskifasa maisa. Because when the yid put it up in for the purpose of avodah zarah, that act is what makes it into an avodah zarah, and therefore, even though the Yid himself didn't bow down to it, that's enough that when the goy bows down to it, it becomes asur b'hanor. L'chayra ain't a movement, but still, the question needs to be asked. Masha kosov says kifasa maisa. What does he mean that standing it up is the act that makes it into avodah zarah? The alema karishul Rambam huva gemara. The source of this halacha of the Rambam comes from the Gemara. V'sham mevor atam. There, the Gemara explains the reason. She'asra b'hanoa hu lefishe kishezokav levena gal yedaita denichalei b'avodah zarah. Because the Gemara explains that because when the Yid stands it up as an avodah zarah, he reveals that he wants the avodah zarah. He also akum, and now when the guy comes along with polach la and worships that brick, he is doing, he becomes an agent of the Yid to bow down to it. In other words, that what is the standing up of this brick? That reveals to us, it only serves as, now we know what the Yid wanted. So why does the Rambam say that the standing up of the brick is a maisa, is an act? That's not the point. The point is, it reveals to us that he's okay with avodah zarah. So therefore, when the guy worships it, the Yid is okay with that. But what's the maisa? What does it mean, that act? The Yaseira Mizu, even more of a question. Savarazu, Kidai, Begile Das, Luchud. This idea that it's enough that the Yid expresses his will, that he's okay with avodah zarah, who ikar achidush al maskanos haGemara. That seems to be the main chidush, the main novel halacha of the Gemara. The lefi alkasaita hakasal kadai tochsham, because according to the first thought, the original thinking of the Gemara, shehev shoros lo yisra b'avodah zarah tola b'tzvisis yedei adam. The Gemara talks over there about that when can something be made into an avodah zarah? Only when a human has done something, he has put his imprint on it. Then the issue, when you're talking about that, in other words, there's a question: can you bow down to a mountain and the mountain should become asur? No, because a mountain has, the human didn't make the mountain. There is no imprint of the human's touch on the mountain, and therefore that doesn't become, that was made by Hashem, therefore he doesn't have the ability to change it into an avodah zarah. So in other words, the question of tfisis yedei adam, but let's say if a person were to dig a form into the mountain, so then that form would become an avodah zarah because it has tfisis yedei adam. There it has a human imprint. So in that question, Maisa is an important part of that. is the maisa that the person did, does it leave the imprint on that thing, which now can turn it into avodah zarah? So if that were the question, shaideyas shezokfa osoba maisa, therefore by standing up the brick, that is his imprint of a zachalah, but fizbeitli de adam, which leaves his imprint on it. But that's the original thinking, mashenkil maskonas a gemara, but in the end the gemara doesn't go that direction. The Gemara concludes, "Shaskifi ragili das the nichalei." The skifa, the standing it up, only is there to reveal that he was okay with avodah zarah. V'loy mishum maisa, not the issue is no longer maisa that he did an act which leaves his imprint on it. So menolei l'Rambam litlu la'alocha be'inyan ha'maisa. So why then does the Rambam connect it to the subject of maisa? Yesh loymar. So therefore we can say Shemakarish or Rambam who Mesugis Gemara Anal, that Rambam takes this idea from the part of the Gemara that we mentioned before, Midapolchi Yisrael Egel, that since the Yidden worshipped the Egel, Golo Adatayu the Nichalu Avodah Zarah, they showed that they were okay with Avodah Zarah. The Imnem Ashigilidaz Greida Beloy Maisa Mahani, because if you would say that simply expressing your opinion that you're okay with Avodah Zarah is enough, and that you don't actually have to do something to express that will. You can just simply say it, let's say. Then, what do you need more when the Yidden actually spelled it out clearly? They said, make for us a lekim. In other words, they said, make an avodah zarah. So from that, it's clear that they want an avodah zarah. And why did the Gemara have to go to the, they actually worshipped the Egel? He could have said even better. The pasuk clearly says, make for us an avodah zarah. That's a clear gilidas. So why did the Gemara have to say, since they actually worshipped the Egel? Even if they hadn't actually worshipped it, since they said that they want an Egel, that would have been enough. So therefore, mazem muchach. So from this, the Rambam sees clearly, shagiloi das the nichalu b'avodah zarah tzarich lias al yedei maisa dafke. That the Gemara seems to be saying that what kind of expressing your will for avodah zarah is not simply by saying it. You have to do something to express that giloi das. It must be giloi das b'ayfen achar. It's not enough to simply express it in some other way. But the like canal shagili das rak megala machshavta shulifneze, and therefore it's not really that the giloi das expressing your being okay with it is not only revealing that since you're okay with it, the giloi das only can happen later, as long as you now know what they were thinking before. That's not true. It needs a maisa. It needs something to be done before that. And therefore the Gemara says, since they actually bowed down to the Egel, by some act, only in this way does this gilui adatayu de nichlu b'avodah, only then does it become effective that they reveal that they were interested in avodah zarah, only because they actually bowed down to it, they actually worshipped it. So, Masha Mesayim Shom Begimora, the Bazesha, Omru Eilu, Lekechi Yisrael, Gilu Daitan, the Nichaluhu, Gam Besharav Edazora. So then, why does the Gemara say that when they said Eilu, Lekechi Yisrael, they show that they're okay with all kinds of Avedazora? But that doesn't help. You need to do something in order to express that. Eina Kavona Shaba Mira Atzma Gilu Daitam. The Gemara doesn't mean that by simply saying it, they reveal their opinion. Ela Shaba Mira Zu Pirshu as Kabanosim Ba Maisa. What the Gemara means is by saying these are your gods, they express that when they actually worshipped the Egel, they weren't only worshipping specifically the Egel. The Maisa included any kind of Avodah Zarah. Shezeh Shepochol Egel Nichalu Loirak BaEgel El B'chol Shar Avodah Zarah, that by worshipping the Egel, they were okay with worshipping any Avodah Zarah. V'zeh Taimah Shel Rambam Shepirush V'Hidgish Sheskifas Maisa. Which is the reason that the Rambam says that by standing up the brick, he reveals that's the maisa, because gilui das needs a maisa, otherwise it doesn't rate as a gilui das, to make it into avodah zarah. Al pize, so based on this, yishyasha betuf tam oid inyan adayrish bir. This explains another idea in regards to this thing. The Gemara shami boile, the Gemara asks a question. Heicha shezoka beitza lishtachvas lo, in the case of a person putting up an egg to bow down to it, v'lo yishtachvalo, but he didn't actually bow down to it, v'bo akam yishtachvalo, and then a goy came in and bowed down to it, mahu. What do we say then? Asuri here, do we say that it's asur, just like a levena, like a brick, if he did that? Or do we say, no, it's different than a brick? Levena, hu de min kiriski fasa, the reason for the question is because a brick, since a brick is oblong, in other words, it's rectangular, not square. So when you stand it up, it's obvious that you did something to change its position. It was lying down, now it's standing up. Pirush Rashi sherachava yisrael avya, that the width is more than the thickness. Now it looks taller. Avol beitza, but an egg is not so, because an egg more or less is round. It's you don't see if it's standing or lying. It's not that obvious. Or do we say that it doesn't make a difference whether from the positioning of the egg it doesn't, you can't see that it was made to be standing up? So now the question would be asked, Ima ikir hu agilei das, if the main thing is that the person is expressing his will that it should become an avodah zarah, who cares if it's obvious from the position of the egg whether he wanted that or not? We know that he wanted it because he did it. Since we know that he wanted the avodah zarah, so who cares if you can see it from the position of the egg? The achreinim ask even more. The achreinim say, since the Gemara already told us that when the Yidden merely said the words Eile Lekechi Yisrael, they already expressed their opinion that they want avodah zarah. Im kein, kolshkin bepa'ulu zo shekov zakov beitza. How much more so if he actually did an act which was to turn the egg from one side to the other? Gam gishalei minkir eskifasa, even if you can't tell that it's standing up. So of course it should help. Even just saying it already made it gilui das. Should the Dayali is gilui das, and how is Sotheby's? So therefore, why is the Gemara asking a question whether an egg would also be, that would be enough of a gilui das? But Valpianal also shape. But now that we've explained it in this way, of course we understand it. Habaya the Gemara hi laachadinak tinon. Hai klolo shabe gilui das tarach li is gam maisa. Now that the Gemara goes with the opinion that even a gilui das needs a maisa, needs something to accompany the gilui das. Yesh lachker, so now we can ask the question, be'imloin minkir eskifasa, that if the maisa is not recognized, because you can't really tell that he did something, she'en ze ele maisa zuta, therefore it shouldn't rate enough, it's only called a small maisa that doesn't rise to the level of maisa that is needed in order that the gilui das, afshu bevadi yesh b'imshum gilui das, even though as far as expressing his opinion, of course he has done that, but since it doesn't have a real maisa, because you can't really see that a maisa was done. So the Gemara asks the question, im hava begedishul maisa amoyel oiloi. So therefore the Gemara considers the question whether this is considered a maisa which is effective to make it into a maisa. Ki muvan sheyesh makom lachlek b'maisa rabba l'maisa zuta, because obviously one could make a difference between a maisa which is considered an important maisa, where you can actually see that something was accomplished through his standing up, or a small maisa which you can't even tell that a maisa was done. And also there's no, the Achreinim's question that since they merely said Eile Lekech Yisrael, that was already enough to show that they liked all the Avodah Zarah, because along with that, as we said before, along with that Eile Lekech Yisrael, they also did the maisa which of polchula, of worshipping the eagle. And the expressing it was only to explain what the maisa was. Al pizeh. So now, based on this, the dafke gilei dash al yedei maisa echad hu anoisin keich la sheni la esedav sheni la shaloi, that it's only through the person, the maisa that comes from the first person who it belongs to, that's what gives the other person the ability to assert something which belongs to another person. That mitzad adin Aaron could not assert the ego because it wasn't his. Because when he was forming the ego, they had not yet worshipped the ego. So therefore there was no maisa to express the Yidden's will that they're interested in Avodah Zarah, because there was no maisa yet, even though they had already said things. So therefore Aaron was not yet able to asser the gold and make it into an eagle, into an Avodah Zarah. And without actually doing something on the part of the Yidden, which would have been what happened later when they actually worshipped it, it's their mere expression that they're interested in this was not enough, that Aaron, to whom the gold didn't belong, that he should make it into a dover asser, something which does not belong to him. Another thing we can say about this, Lefi Psak HaRambam, according to what the Rambam paskin, Shein Adam Yisrael Oise Dover Shein Shaloi Shein Kavanose Elul Tzairei. There's another thing that the Rambam says, that when you see a Yid doing something which seems like he's worshipping Avodah Zarah, it doesn't necessarily answer it because we don't believe that he's actually worshipping Avodah Zarah. We think he's only trying to tease the guy, as if he answered his thing by worshipping it. So we can say based on this, that even when a person expresses his will, a Yid expresses his will, it doesn't help. Shenema b'shvil zeh, that with Neymar b'shvil zeh, that we should say because of this, Shemiskaven hul, the Easter, that he intends actually to aser it. Ki gili das mayol rak sheyochel laser. The gili das only helps that he's able to aser it. Hayne sholei tiyem niyeh b'zeh mitzad ha-balabayis. In other words, that if the person that actually owns it, if the makes a gili das, then he removes his opposition to it. But yet we say that if he didn't intend to aser it, we'll move him as Ebi in Yonenu. So therefore, in regards to our case, that certainly the Gilidas of the Yidden did not help, even after they did already worship it, that the Egel should become aser through Aaron, because Aaron, of course, had no intention of making an ego, as is clear from his words that he said, "Let's make Chag LaHashem, we'll make a celebration." In other words, he was trying to deflect from the idea of the ego; he was trying to push it away from that direction. So, therefore, according to this, that Yid does not aser, because when you can say that he's not really intending to aser it, certainly, even if it would include all of these details, in the case of Aaron, he still wouldn't aser it, according to that opinion. The Nais of L'chol Anal, in addition to all this, in our case, there was no clear indication that they were interested in Avodah Zarah Kodem Shepolchu, at least before they actually worshipped it. Because as we said before, the fact that they said, make for us Elikim, it was only as a result of their error, because they didn't know what happened to Moshe. So then it's like a condition. Because had they known that Moshe was fine, everything was fine, it was coming back, they wouldn't have wanted to make the egel even. So therefore, the whole thing was conditional upon Moshe having left. But since Moshe didn't leave, so that condition wasn't fulfilled, so they didn't really even want the egel. In other words, Hatam she'oser hu mishum d'mishum d'shluchus ka'ovid. The reason that the person making it with someone else's materialist because he's acting on behalf of the person who owns it. And clearly Aaron did not accept upon himself that kind of shlichus to make an egel. So therefore, even if the Yidden did intend for it, but he certainly didn't accept that shlichus, and therefore he wasn't assuring the goal through making it. So therefore, it didn't turn into an avodah zarah. But still, on some level, at least some connection he seemed to have to the Cheta Egel. Even though, as we explained, he himself did not make it into an Avodah Zarah, still through because of him, many, many Jews were caught up in the Isra Avodah Zarah. So at least he violated the law that you shouldn't put a stumbling block before other people. But Frat La'adeya She'ena Isra Kloli, especially according to the opinion that says that the Isra of Lefnei Iver is not a general Isra which stands alone, but rather Ki'im Befrat Be'Isra Shabayu Machshol Schaveri, rather Lefnei Iver is attached to every single Isra in which it becomes a stumbling block, so that if somebody puts a stumbling block before a Jew to do a certain Aveira, the violation of that of the Aveira is that Aveira, the specific Aveira. And not that he's merely violating Lifnei Iver, he's violating the Aveira that he caused the other person to violate. Therefore, if we look at it that way, if we consider Aaron's act to be Lifnei Iver in regards to Avodah Zarah, then he also violated Avodah Zarah through this. But Tiras L'Chayra Poshut, so the answer to this, it seems, is obvious. Ale Isser Lifnei Iver Le'Sita Michel Nitztava B'nei Yisloba Parshik Deishim Zman Rav La'achar Ma'ase Egel. This prohibition of Lifnei Iver was told to the Yidden many, many, a long time after in Parshik Deishim. Certainly after Moshe came down from Har Sinai. Therefore at that time there wasn't yet an Isser of Lifnei Iver. So therefore Aaron didn't violate that either. But on the other hand, from the words that Moshe said to Aaron, Ma osalacho, what did they do to you that you brought them to this? Moshe said to Aaron, also from the fact that Chur did rebuke them for doing it until they killed him for that. And also we know that in Mora they were commanded on dinim. So in other words, that there was already responsibility from one to the other. Especially that Moshe said to Aaron and to Chur as well, before he went about onto Har Sinai, Mi bal dvarim yigash aleihem. Whoever has an issue should come to Aaron and Chur. In other words, that Aaron was given that kind of responsibility, v'oid, and other issue. In other words, that there is still an issue of how Aaron was involved in this. V'tzarachi mechol zeh, and it still needs more explanation. Me'inyonim. The Yenishal Teirav Shubapirish Rashi Dalon. From the messages that come from behind the Pnimis HaTeirav from this Rashi. Mevor Bekama Mekoimis, it's explained a number of places, Shemetzias HaChet, Vakoshin Chet Godel Kavidah Zorah, that the existence of sin, and especially such a great sin as Avidah Zorah, Bom Ezeh Shebedakas Tadakas Yeshne Mokar Avidah Zorah Bekdusha. The reason there could exist sin, especially this kind of a sin, is because on a very refined, on a very subtle way, there is a source for Avodah even in Kedusha, for Avodah Zarah even in Kedusha. V'amokar b'Kedusha al chet Avodah Zarah pirud ma'achdus Hashem. What is the source in Kedusha for this kind of a sin of Avodah Zarah, which is being separated from the unity of Hashem? Hu inyan ha'ischalka sh'yeshna b'Torah gufa. The spiritual source of it is because in Torah there is divisions, there are separations within Torah. Hainu, meaning to say, the fact that within Torah you can explain something in two different ways. In other words, it's not perfectly united. There are two ways to look at it. Not only two ways, there are seven different ways to explain every issue in Torah. And in the writings of the Arizal, it's explained that there are actually 600,000 explanations for every matter in Torah, corresponding to each neshama. So that each neshama has its own explanation in Torah. So this is the source from which evolves after many, many yiridus, that it goes down level after level, that it can lead to a separation, not only within Torah, within Elikus, but from Elikus. Not to say that this in itself, the different versions of Torah, the different explanations of Torah, it directly impacts this kind of sin, that it could lead to avodah zarah. Because the Torah is the will and wisdom of Hashem, and that the Eibishter and Torah are one. And he and his wisdom are one. So just like the Hashem himself is perfect unity, so also Torah is also perfect unity in every part of it. That it's all one and poshut, that it doesn't have divisions and separations. Ella, what it means is the mishum sheyeshnam kama perushim b'Torah, that since there are a number of different interpretations to every matter in Torah, nitna efsharus laadam haloimda, therefore the person that learns the Torah has the ability, lintes ktsas be'es limudai, is able to stray, to veer away during his learning, miregesh ha'achdus ha'pshutu sheb'Torah. His feelings veer from that feeling of unity that can be found in Torah, but he missed that point. And he feels a separation, that there is divisions within Torah. In other words, that it goes away from the unity of Hashem. Which could, after many, many descents and many levels, can also lead to actual avodah zarah. Similar to what our sages say, the pasuk nasa adam, let us make man. It says in the pasuk, Hashem said, let us make man. When Moshe read this pasuk, amalufanov, so he said to Hashem, Ribbono Olam, the master of the universe, ma tanoisim pischem pelaminim et maha, why do you allow for that an apokatos, a non-believer, should make the mistake of saying, let us, that there are chas v'sholem more than one of us to the created man. I wonder about this. Amalois, Hashem responded, ksoiv, write the way I said it. Baroitz alitus yitin, the one who wants to make the mistake can make the mistake. Hainu, in other words, the bazesh, kosov, gashbaruch, b'teira, inyashal, ribu, vishalkus, from the fact that Hashem wrote into the Torah this idea of Nasa, let us, that there are many and separations, nitan pischem pe, that from within the Torah comes this ability, that there is the one can make the mistake, that there are two separate gods, chas v'sholem, meaning of avodah zarah. So in other words, it's from within Torah. Elo shemi idach. However, on the other hand, even in this Maimer Azal, it emphasizes that it's not that the Torah itself gives you the ability to make that mistake, that the mistake comes from the perspective of the person, because it says the person who wants to make the mistake. So it has to come from his desire to make a mistake. As our sages say, in their words, the one who wants to make the mistake should make the mistake. Because if you'll say that the intent over here is as it would seem, that Hashem told him to write Nasa Beloshen Rabim, even if this will lead to mistakes by the people, in other words, that there's nishkefelach. It doesn't matter if somebody will make the mistake. Because then what does it mean? The one who wants to make the mistake. So rather, certainly what he means by that is that in fact this mistake cannot come from within Torah. Only if the person already has the will, the desire to make that mistake. But from within Torah, it wouldn't be, that mistake wouldn't come. And so to this is what Rashi alludes when he says, that it can be interpreted in two ways. In other words, that the ability, the possibility that there should be avodah zara, cheta egel shvei meduba kan, which is the subject of this Rashi, ba al yedei sheyesh letargamay ha'inyan shebetorah b'shnei ponim, it comes, it stems, avodah zara stems from the fact that an inyan in Torah can be interpreted in two ways. Lo yamar Rashi yesh boi shnei ponim, it doesn't say that there are two sides to it. Because by its nature, the two interpretations, the two different interpretations of Torah, they do not allow for pirud, the fact that there are two interpretations. It's only because the person can interpret it in two different ways. In other words, from his perspective, Bishnei Ponim can be interpreted in two ways. That's what leads to Avodah Zarah. Valintes Ma'achtas Apshuta Shebetorah, and therefore the person is able to, through this, veer away from the unity of Torah. So that leads to Efshel Ushtalshim as a Pirud Avodah Zarah Rachman Aslan, that from this can stem the eventual Avodah Zarah. Val Pize Yum Takshinoi Gimel Halashoinus Hamashamshes Lepirushim Shal Beis Pirushim. And this will also gives us a better understanding the three different words which lead to the two explanations of this Rashi. The Sidurim bePirush Rashi and the way Rashi organizes them. BePiskazu Kosev Yesh LaTargane bePishtei Ponim. And over here he writes that it can be interpreted in two ways. BePiskas Shel Achreha. And then in the next Rashi, so in other words, he's talking now about the three Rashis, this one, the next one, and the one after that. There are three different expressions. As he said in the beginning of the Sikha, that over here he says, Yesh letargam v'shnei efanim, and over the next one it says, Yesh oimrim, and then it says, Dovaracha. All to express two different interpretations. Why does he use three different expressions? Nemar, so in the next one, in this one it says, Yesh L'targam B'Shnei Ponim. The next one it says, where also there are two interpretations, it says, Yesh Oimrim, there are those who say, U'Bepiska Shlishis, in the third one it says, Dabar Achar, another interpretation. Because this explains the descent that comes through these three, through Pirud, which can lead to Avodah Zarah. First, it starts with it could be interpreted in two different ways. That the person doesn't feel enough the true unity of Torah. Therefore, he interprets it as two separate things. But that leads to Yesh Oimrim Nirgash Yesh Liyesh Oimer, that he feels himself as someone that has something to say. Ach Achakach, until eventually Nasa Metzias Nefredes Melukos, until he becomes completely separate from Melukos, Dovar Acher becomes another thing, in other words, Avodah Zarah. This is a remez of the progression lower and lower of how the different interpretations of Torah could eventually lead to Avodah Zarah. The Zeo Gamma Rem is the base Hapirushim Shibarashi. And this is also what is alluded to by the two explanations of Rashi. After saying that there are two ways in which to interpret this. The first explanation is that he tied up the gold into a kerchief. Haina she'inyan azav v'chulu she'yeshle kaishu v'sudu v'fnei atzim v'esel mitzius. It starts with he takes possessions that he has and he ties it up into a separate, and he makes it into importance. He made it into a pile and so on that it became importance. It's a meres shechayshev she kaychi beyotzim yada asli sachay lozeh, that he feels that there is importance that he has accomplished by collecting this gold and so on, shu dugmas yesh aymin, which is similar to what we said before, yesh aymin, that he is important too. He has something to say. He contributed to the collection of the gold. Upirish abeis, where the second pshat is shetzar tzura se'egel v'poyel, that he actually formed the image of an eagle into the gold. Shemargish hu esatzme ki yesh ametzias v'fnei atzme legamri, it leads to him feeling himself as an ametzias, separate ametzias, that it already allows for Avodah Zarah itself, bedugmas davar achar anal, as he said before, that this is expressed by the words davar achar, he feels separate, different. Unukudas kol anal hu chesaron bekabolas oil malchus shemayim. The reason what leads to all of this is that a person lacks kabolas oil. The imze b'shleimus esa, because if the kabbalas oil would be in order, would be fine, gam b'teira yargish achas apshuta, that would lead him that even in teira, even as he sees different interpretations, he would still feel the unity within teira. B'zem ramez Rashi b'pirushi ala teira shalifnei yesh l'targim m'shnei ponim. This is what Rashi means when he says, before he says the words yesh letargim b'shnei ponim, in other words, where the problem begins, that he sees two different sides. He says, as an introduction to that, vayisparku loshem prikos maser, they removed from themselves. So Rashi says, it means it's like unloading a load. In other words, what is the meaning of this b'yena shel Torah, the pnimis in yana shemachashim Torah mitzvah? Rashi says in regards to that people took off the jewelry from themselves and they gave it to Aaron, the gold jewelry. But now he interprets it this way, shemachashim Torah mitzvah lamasa. First they consider Torah mitzvahs to be a load, a burden. Uvameila perikim oil hazeh, so therefore they remove that burden. And there, this is what leads to seeing Torah as two separate, that there is no achdus in Torah. In other words, removing kabbalas oil, prikas oil, as we call it, that's what leads to what can eventually cause avodah zarah l'achazel l'shaira yedidus, which of course leads to the other levels of descent. Masha en kingshe mudava kabbalas oil hi b'pshleimus. However, when a person's faith in Kabbalah Soil is perfect, as ozla yavei gam las cholos ha'inyan, therefore it won't even lead to the beginning of this problem. And therefore we find that the women and the children did not give any gold to the eagle. Because to them, their amunah was strong, very strong. Therefore they had no... It didn't even begin with a concept of Avodah Zarah to them. And it's understood that through strengthening one's Emunah, Kabbalah Soil, the Bishneim Enes Chalkos, neither by Emunah or by Kabbalah Soil is there His Chalkos. It's all one. You can't make divisions in, I believe slightly, but I don't believe fully, or Kabbalah Soil means I'm willing to accept this or not. Either you accept or you don't accept. So Mischazik Gamma Hergish Dachtas Hashem Becholin Yonim, this strengthens also our feeling of the unity of Hashem in all matters. Atche Gam Kishaloymed Inyim Teira, that even if he learns something in the Teira Sheyeshbei Kame Vakame Perushim, that has a number of different explanations, Margish Bischalkazu Dafka Amitis Achtas Apshuta, he feels within that those different Perushim, he feels that it's really only one Achtas Amitis Pshuta, it's all one Achtus.